Those that are missing, I assume it's because Brother Clayton, you told them that I was going to be here this evening.
Amen.
I always appreciate Brother JC's support. All kidding aside, these two men, as well as many of you all, have been very supportive of us and our transition over to this part of the country. It's a part of the country I'm fairly familiar with, being from Birmingham. But a transition from 7 years in Jacksonville to the panhandle of Florida has still been quite an act in and of itself. And I'm thankful for these two men and Elder Bobby Willis for supporting Palm Chapel Church. I'm thankful for your support of the recent meeting we had just a few weeks ago that we feel like the Lord truly blessed. About 4 or 5 months ago, I was standing in the pulpit and preaching, I think it was on a Sunday morning, and said something to the effect of something about government. You know, I know y'all all watch Fox News. I do too. I'm not going to separate myself out from that. And I said something, and I heard from the congregation, "Amen!" Something probably derogatory that I'd said about our current administration or government. I noticed, and I got to thinking about that, and every time that I mentioned something about our government, I'd get a big, hearty, healthy amen. Some of y'all are wanting to say amen right now. That's all right. Then I'd mention, you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins. And didn't get quite as healthy as amen. Several weeks ago, there's this fellow named Cliven Bundy out in Nevada that has been grazing on public land for, his family has been, for over 150 years. And the government asked him to pay some fees here about 20 years ago for him to continue to graze on the land. And right-wing America got all up in arms about that. Now, I want to be clear about this. I believe the government has imposed too far into our lives. I want to be very clear about that. But I want to be clear about something else that's even more biblical than that. Our responsibility, if the government is not forcing sinfulness upon us, our responsibility is to pray for them, to not bear up arms against them and be defiant of our government. It was Christ himself who lived in the days of the Roman occupation in Jerusalem, never once advised the Jews to rise up in arms against the Romans. In fact, fought against it. People were trying to get him to build his army, even to the day that he ascended into heaven. I imagine that Peter was standing there hoping that he'd come back with his army of angels so they could drive Rome out of Jerusalem. You know, we look around our situations, we look around where we're at in this country, and we'll just start from there. I walked into Walmart the other day in front of the pharmacy section where they sell the health and beauty supplies was a display of fingernail polish. Now, ordinarily, I would never have noticed this display of fingernail polish, except for the headlining on this big, huge, you know, the pallets they put in the middle of the aisles that you have to walk around. If you're going down the wrong way, you will get run over. That said, sinful colors. You see ads on TV for chocolate or ice cream that'll say sinfully delicious. And there was a time, 50, 60 years ago on television when Lucy and Desi were, Lucy and Ricky Ricardo were on television, where if they showed their bedroom, y'all remember the bedroom, what it looked like? They walk in the bedroom, there's two twin-sized beds there because they dare not show a bed of a husband and wife on television. Come about 20 years after that, you had the Brady Bunch. And some of y'all remember the uproar, and maybe we're part of the uproar of, and I know you can't, kids, you think of the Brady Bunch now, you can't think that there was anything of an uproar that came from Brady Bunch, but there was. Y'all remember what that problem was? They showed Mr. and Mrs. Brady in bed together, covered from head to toe, lying next, normally reading something. But right-wing Christian America, they got furious about that. Maybe rightly so. Now compare that to what we see on TV today. What you see in the movies today. I saw on Facebook today, Michael Green, Elder Michael Green, said that he canceled his cable on Monday and he already felt smarter. We see it all around us, don't we? Sinful colors. We're using it in America, in the South, in the Bible Belt. We are using phrases like sinful colors to help sell, of all things, fingernail polish. And I know y'all are looking around, and some of y'all lived a long time, but all of your lives you've been saying, I just don't know how much farther this world can go in its sin and depravity. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, the apostles were saying the same thing. I don't know how much farther this world can go into sin and depravity. You know, pride's always been around. It may show itself in different ways, but pride has always been around since the garden. Deceit has always been around since the garden. Lust has been around since the garden. And we look around, and I'm guilty of it too, at just 34 years old, looking around going, what's this world going to be like when my kids grow up? You know, things start on late night cable television, premium cable television shows. Then those kind of sinful things are shown on regular cable. Over the course of time, then they're showed on network broadcast television. We see it all the time. Y'all are looking around, and I'm looking around going, how much farther can we go? Lord, come quickly, is our cry. Yeah, and if it's not those things that we see in society, it's those things we see in government. How much farther can our government involve itself in our lives? How much farther can the government tell a mother and father how they ought to raise their children? How much farther can a mother or father, can a government go into a home and tell them what they should and shouldn't be eating? How they ought to provide their child care? And that, whether you stand on one side of the issue or the other is irrelevant. But I get the idea. I know amongst whom I'm standing here with. Say, how much farther can the government involve itself? How much farther can our schools go in what they teach and what they allow in some of our schools? Y'all might have heard the story or read the story this week of the child in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, I believe it was, who during open reading time was reading the Bible, and a teacher says, you can't have that, and his or her teacher says, you can't have that religious material in our school, in my classroom. Put it up. Put it away. In fact, called his father, made the kid dial his father right then and there, and left him a message, says, our religious materials aren't allowed to be read in my classroom. We see books, however, that are allowed in classroom. And there was another issue where a father was at a school board meeting because of a certain book that was explicit in sexual nature that was in the school that kids were reading that ought not been in our school. Ought not, and he went longer than his 2 minutes he was allowed during the school board meeting, and they walked him out of there in handcuffs. And you and I go, how much farther can this world go? We look in our homes, some of us look in our homes at our children, and we've tried to raise them right, we've prayed with them, we've read the scriptures to them, we've tried to take them to church and have them sit in the pews and sing and listen and taken them to singing schools and done this and that, and we see our children doing things that we can't believe they were doing those. I can't believe our children are doing these things. Then you think back for a minute and you say, I did the same thing. Manifested itself in a different way, but those sins have always been around. You see those that are around you, and you see the effects of all those kind of sins on their lives. Sickness, pain, suffering. My father suffered for a year with cancer. It was brutal. He was blessed to be relieved from that on December 4th last year. A wonderful blessing. He was able to go immediately and be with his Lord and Savior. Now look at this man, this man's man. Y'all didn't know my daddy, but he was a man's man. I wore a beard for the last couple of months because he never saw me with a beard, and he wore one for about 30 years. A man's hunted, fished. My father was deaf. And he was a fantastic football player at the Alabama School for the Deaf. Basketball player, too. And when I played 8-year-old football, I remember him standing on the sidelines yelling in that deaf voice and that I could only understand. And I knew exactly what he was saying, be tough. A man's man lying there in a hospital bed with no control over his bladder. No control over his intestinal tract. No control over his situation in life. Knowing that it certainly killed him more to have others wait on him than the pain ever caused him. And we say, how does this happen? How could this be happening to this man? And y'all said the same thing about your families. Why does this happen? We know the answer. Y'all know the answer. The answer is sin. That sin and death, that sentence passed upon through Adam to all men. For as in Adam all die, wherefore as by one man sin in the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Y'all know where it comes from, yet we still look around and we go, why? Now I know for the first 10 minutes I've been awful negative here. But that's the way a lot of our folks are feeling. That's the way your families are feeling. That might be the way that you're feeling. You're in a job that you don't enjoy. You're in school and it's killing you. I remember it. I was in school once. I wish I could go back there, Brother Clayton. Be quite honest with you. My wife tells me I'm 12 years old. If I was 12 years old, I might as well be in school. We don't know. We look around and go, this is where I'm at. Some of us are that way about our marriages. The emotion, the flame is still flickering, but it ain't what it was when you were happily newly married. Brother Kenneth, keep your arm around her. Sister Sarah, stay that close to him. What do we do? How did we get here? And where do we go? I've heard, not y'all, when I say y'all, I mean churches that I've visited over the course of the last couple of years say, this country's done. We're over with. This society's done. What can we do? What can we do? There's a word that appears in the English in the New Testament that does not appear in the Old Testament. The word is immediately. Now, if you were a Jew in the Old Testament, you understood that you didn't want anything immediately to happen by God's hand, because when God made something immediately happen, it wasn't going to be good for you and your people. The Israelites were not in bondage in Egypt overnight, were they? When they were freed, it was a process of time, wasn't it? And it came about so that the Israelites ought to have been able to look at the events that took place and said only God could have made that happen. Y'all remember the plagues? Then they get to the Red Sea and they've forgotten all about that. And Moses, what have you led us into? They cross the Red Sea and they're still murmuring. Again, these incredible things are happening and they're still murmuring. The Lord took His time with Israel. Then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, didn't they? See, when good things happen, they tended in the Old Testament not to happen immediately. They took time. Maybe there's not a word for immediately because they didn't want to use it in the Hebrew. I don't know. I know in the English, immediately doesn't appear a single time in the Old Testament. The good news is it appears over 50 times in the New Testament. There was a difference. Something incredible happened. Some were about the end of the Old Testament. Some were about the beginning of the New Testament. And that something was Jesus Christ. And if anything has ever been immediate, it is Jesus Christ. Amen. And what I want to talk to you tonight about, despite all the negativity that I've thrown your way and all the things that I've got stirred up in your mind, I'm sure I have, I want you to put that away. Some of you aren't going to be able to. And you need to. And I need to. Y'all don't need to be worrying about Clive and Bundy, who's 2,500 miles west of here. I don't need to be worrying about that. Y'all don't really need to be worrying as much as we do about what's going on in our government. Y'all don't need to be worrying about a lot of the things that are going on in our lives. Because when you're worrying about these things, you know what you're not doing? Focusing on what you ought to be focusing on. When you're watching Fox News and Bill O'Reilly's going off on somebody and you say, "Hey, man, Brother Bill." Or Sean Hannity's yelling at some other guest he's got on the show and you're going, "Give it to him, Mr. Hannity." You ain't doing what you ought to. I'm not saying don't watch that stuff. Educate yourself. Know what's going on around you. But what I want you to remember from tonight, that no matter what's going on, no matter the position that our country is in, no matter what position that the world is in, no matter what position that your home or your family or your church might be in, that the Lord can reach down immediately and change it. Immediately. And immediately, the idea of that is without a lapse of time. You understand that? That there is no time between when Jesus Christ, when God Himself the Father, or when the Spirit acts in the affairs of man, that something can be immediately changed. Now, in my home, up until the last few weeks when this thought's really been on my mind, in my home, the thought has generally been when things revolve around these subjects that we've discussed so far, my thoughts have been, what's it going to be like when my daughter gets 16, 18, 25, 30 years old, when she gets my age? What kind of condition? When my mind ought to be, Jesus Christ, you can change this. God, you can change this. And when you change it, it can be immediately. We can have a great awakening again in America. It can happen. And that's what needs to be on your mind. That's what needs to be on my mind, and that's what needs to be on the ministers' minds that are standing behind these pulpits telling you what God is and who He is. Is that God is not limited to the laws of this world. You know, in Christ, when He prays, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," what's the significance of Him being in heaven is that He's not limited to the laws of physics on this earth. He has all power because He dwells in heaven. He can do anything that He so wills to do. Y'all really believe that? Amen. I know you do now and you're saying amen. I want you to remember that when you go home tonight and turn Fox News on. And I watch it too. Okay, I'm not calling y'all out. Well, I am. Maybe I am a little bit. And I'm trying not to step on your toes, but I want you to understand that I don't believe and I don't think that our minds are in the right place. Y'all, we're primitive Baptists. We believe that God, an almighty, powerful creator of this universe, who created a people who completely and totally rebelled against Him, loved them enough to save them from everlasting destruction. We're talking about a God who spoke the words, "Let there be light," and light existed. We're talking about a God who took the dust of the earth, formed him into a man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What do you not think God can do? What do you think He can't do? Say, "Well, I haven't seen Him do these things in a while." Then you hadn't been looking at your life. You hadn't been looking at your family's life. That might be the first time I've ever heard prayer requests without a single prayer request. But I know y'all got things you need praying for. Do you have the faith to have it come to pass? Do you know it's going to happen? Are you leaving it in God's hands? Are you trying to manipulate and move the chess pieces so that just in case God didn't work this thing out, I'll just do it myself? You see, that's what the Jews did, right? That's why the Lord made him wait 40 years in the wilderness. That's why he continued time after time to suffer the Jews to be led into bondage. 70 years they were in bondage in Babylon. When something immediate happened to these people, it was the earth opening up and swallowing 10,000 men. They didn't want anything immediate to happen. That changes in the New Testament. That changes. Now, y'all believe in Scripture. I know that, right? Y'all believe that this Word, that this is the inspired Word of God, that God breathed this Word, that God moved men as they were moved by the Spirit to pen these words, that God not only penned the words in the Hebrew in the original language, He preserved it through the Hebrew and Greek, and He's preserved it into the Scriptures that we have today. I happen to believe it's the 1611 King James Version Bible. Y'all believe these things actually happened? You really believe it? Do you believe in Hebrews when Scripture says that Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that? Okay, then what you ought to believe is that Jesus Christ can reach His hand into the affairs of men and immediately change where you're at in life. He can. And He does. I think our perception of it is what's messed up. We see something incredible happen and we say, oh, wow, what about that inventor that did that? Y'all know the inventor of the Segway? You know what a Segway is? It's got two wheels on it. You stand on it and you control it just by leaning. And it's an incredible... It was going to change the world. It's going to change life in cities. It never really did that. You know how he died? He rode one off a cliff. An incredible piece. We all thought, this is going to be incredible. The Lord's done incredible things. You have sermons in your mind that you're thinking about, maybe right now, your favorite sermon. When everybody think about their favorite sermon. You remember who preached it, right? And when you say, y'all remember that sermon back from 1982 that Brother So-and-so preached. Tell you what we forget to do is say, let me tell you that sermon that God sent to us that day. I hope I could care less if you remember who preached tonight. I hope that you leave here saying, the Lord sent us a message. The Lord changed my life tonight. And He did it immediately. Now, immediately doesn't just mean a lack of a span of time between a cause and an effect. You know, it carries with it the idea, in fact, one of the Greek words, euthys, carries with it the idea of an outside agency acting upon something as cause an immediate effect. An outside agency. I want to turn and look at some of those this evening. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, verse 1, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You'll notice the language here. Y'all think these things happen by accident? He didn't say, you might be able to. He didn't say, there's a good chance. He didn't say, let's try this thing out and see how it works. He said, the only thing that stands between this leper being cleansed and continuing in his infirmity was if Jesus Christ willed to do so. That's all that stood between this leper who had this incredible condition of the flesh that went much farther than the condition of the flesh. Y'all think these open sores were bad? How about the sore in his heart from being away from his family and his friends and everything he's ever known because he was an outcast from society? But I tell you, those sores go much deeper, don't they? I've seen more people fall into sin and depravity because of a broken heart than an illness. He says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will. You ever thought about how much more the Lord might do for you if you understood who he was? If there was no question in your mind that he was the God of the universe, that he was indeed born of a virgin, that he brought men back from life. If you really comprehended that, don't you understand that in your prayers, when you fall on your knees, you would say, "Lord, I know you can do it. It may be mine." Talked to a lady a few weeks ago. She said, "I'm just not sure praying for other people helps anything. God's going to do what he's going to do." I said, "Okay, God's going to do what he's going to do. But Jesus Christ himself prayed for others. He was the Son of God. Well, the apostles prayed. They were apostles. Every excuse in the book not to pray for other people. We ought to be praying for others and believing that if he wills." You know, I went through several months at Palm Chapel, the Lord's Prayer. And the thing I took out of it more than anything, and the thought came to me via a preacher I was listening to, I don't remember who it was. He said, prayer in modern sense, in your and my eyes, is trying to get God to commit himself to our will. When in fact, what prayer is trying to get out, what prayer ought to be, is us committing ourselves to God. With us is, "Let thy will be done." Right. Not "my will be done," "let thy will be done." And if he wills to do something, he will do it. That's just the fact of the matter. Whether you like it or not, sometimes I just don't like what the Lord wills to do. I don't want to see these things, some of these things happen. But if it's for his glory, then who am I to call it unfair? Who am I not to like it? Jesus reached out his hand and he says, "I will." Y'all want to take a guess at what happens next? "Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, we've seen some healings in our lives. We've seen folks from terrible conditions. And we've heard, you hear stories. They had cancer one day, and next week they were cancer. And we see these things happen. I've never seen somebody had spots on their flesh like this man, I'm sure, had spots on his flesh, and they just disappear. You see, when the Lord immediately does something, when he presses forth his hand and involves himself in your life, something immediate happens. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. You sick? The Lord can heal you. Now, I'm not going to try to raise money from you tonight and heal you myself, because that just wouldn't work. But the Lord can heal you. Sometimes I think we throw out the baby with the bathwater on what some other folks believe. I think, you know, most folks probably take it too far, but the Lord heals folks. Y'all got to believe that. Y'all got to believe that. Matthew chapter 14. Come on around verse 28. Y'all remember this? Y'all know this story. Jesus shows up walking on the water. Incredible sight, huh? Can you imagine that? This is their Lord and Savior. This is their friend. This is their master walking on the water. And Peter, just like Peter was apt to do, there's a book by John MacArthur, it's called 12 Ordinary Men. You ever read it? Half the book's on Peter. Peter, as he was apt to do, he wanted to do something special. The man, when he was right, he was on fire. When he was wrong, he was on fire. He says, "I want to do that." Verse 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Y'all believe that? It was a show I used to watch called Mythbusters. And they were talking about if they could actually run fast enough to walk across water. Well, they made this concoction of some type of glycerin or starch in water, which has both solid and fluid. The only way they were able to get anything to go across the top of any fluid type substance, well, this has the properties of fluid and it has the properties of water. If the surface tension was broke, and water does the same thing. If you ever notice, you fill up a cup and you fill it up too much, there's a couple over the top. That surface tension is what keeps that water from flowing over the sides. Well, this just happens to have incredible surface tension. So if you go fast enough across it, you can walk it. But if you stand on it, break that surface tension, you drown, and it's got liquid properties. This wasn't that. This wasn't a sea with too high a salt content. He's walking on the water. As long as he's looking at Jesus Christ, he continues walking on the water. Peter finally got it for a minute or so. He's walking on the water. All of a sudden, a little wind comes up. How many times have you ever felt like you were walking on the water, a little wind comes up, and you lost complete focus on what you were doing or what you ought to have been doing? You're sitting there during the sermon, and the Lord's really blessing the preaching. And all of a sudden, the car drives by because the windows are open and it catches your eye and you lose track of where you're at. A little wind blew, didn't it? And it doesn't just have to be here in church. Things are going great. A little wind blows. Sometimes that wind is you stirring up your own tornado by thinking, you know, things are going pretty good. I'm doing all right now. I got this thing wrapped up. I got it whipped. That little wind blows up. Sometimes that's the wind coming out of your ears. You lose focus. All of a sudden, you're drowning. You ever felt like that? Drowning? Peter looks up, and he says, "Save me." You know what Jesus Christ did? Reached out his hand and immediately saved him. Y'all don't hear Primitive Baptists say this a lot. Y'all need saving. I need saving. I need it every minute. Every hour. What song? I need thee every hour. Most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Y'all are drowning. I'm drowning. We all drowning in something. You look back at the Lord like you were when you were standing on the water on the mountaintop, high as you could be. And you say, "Jesus Christ, save me." If he will, he will save you, and it will be immediate. And there ought to be no question in your mind who pulled you up out of that water. Turn with me to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. You ever been put in a position where I thought I was doing all right, and now all of a sudden everybody's mad at me for this? You're a Primitive Baptist, you ever try to do anything but sing, preach, or pray, you felt that way before. I thought I was trying to do the right thing. You ain't never been in, you might have been in this position, but not to this extent. Paul, and one of my favorites in the Old New Testament, Mr. Silas, Silvanus, man of the forest. They're in jail for preaching the gospel. Somebody came in here this evening and took you to jail. I imagine you'd be a wreck. I'd probably be a wreck. I ain't gonna lie to you. Having to call Brother David Crawford knowing he ain't gonna show up and pick me up out of jail. They're bound. It's midnight. You know what they started doing? Praying and singing. Boy, I'd like to know what they were singing. Man, wouldn't you like to know what they were singing? I want to know which one of them old psalms they were singing. Had a preacher tell me one time, I'm just not, he said, "There's way too many praise songs out there." I said, "What do you think singing is?" "It's praise." "Well, there's not enough doctrine in some of these songs." "Does it talk about how big God is, how great God is?" "That's doctrine if there's ever any doctrine." Now, there can be too much of it. There needs to be some doctrine in our singing. I get that. There's a song in this hymnal called Majesty. You know the song, Majesty. Y'all know it? It's about it. How big, how great, how majestic our God is. There's some preachers don't like that song. If I'm going to stand here and tell you anything about God, it's how majestic He is. Because that's where it all starts. That's where this universe started from. How great He is. And how He wanted to show Himself to Himself. These two men, they're in jail. Things probably couldn't have been worse for these guys. And they start praying and singing. What the words are, I don't know. Making some type of melody in their hearts and letting it come out of their mouths. All of a sudden, the earth started to shake. The ground started to tremble. The JC preached part of the, was at our annual meeting last year before I was pastor at Palm Chapel. And you remember the song you wanted to sing before communion? The song with Tremble, that old spiritual. Yeah, were you there? Hear Brother JC in that deep southern voice sing Tremble. I felt like the earth was going to shake. The earth started to shake. And their chains. You say, well, that might explain the door opening up. That don't explain their chains falling off their arms. Y'all know when that happened? Immediately. Immediately. Or something imprisoning you? Are you in some type of prison? Something got you in bondage? A sin? A job? A family member? A church? Got you in bondage? Lord, you're praying, you're singing, your heart's in the right place, your mind's in the right place. He can reach down and He can immediately fix that. He can take those chains right off of you. Turn with me to John chapter 11. I got a couple more here because I like this subject. And while we're here for the next hour or so, I'm just kidding. John chapter 11. Y'all know this story too. It's no surprise to you. Now, okay, the term immediately is not in here. But the term God's not in the book of Esther either. Doesn't mean it ain't there. God might not be in the ink and paper, but He's all over the pages. Jesus has got a friend that's passed away. He was sick. They sent for Jesus. Jesus tarried along, and He shows up 4 days later. He says, I want to see Him. They said, Jesus, I don't know if you understand, He stinketh. You don't want us to open up that door. He says, open the door. If they understood what was coming next, they'd have understood that He didn't need them to open up that door. Jesus Christ looks into that hole in the ground. And He says, Lazarus, come forth. Y'all hear that? Lazarus, come forth. Three words. Y'all know what happened? That dead body was in that ground. It came forth. You know how immediately that happened? He was still bound in his grave clothes. Does that mean he hopped out? Does that mean he floated out? I don't know, but I know he immediately came out of that grave. All it took was a sound of God's voice. Lazarus, come forth. It's that same voice that Paul talks about in Corinthians. It's the same voice that Paul talks about in Thessalonians. When He comes back, And he says, come forth. Now, I don't know where the view is going to be better from. I don't know if, you know, folks, I hope I'm here. I don't know. I kind of like to come back with him, see the view from the air. Earth's a lot prettier from an airplane. You ever been in an airplane? When men are small and the earth is just what it is, it's beautiful. He says, come forth. I'll tell you something immediate is going to happen. Turn to one last place. And y'all get a kick out of this because y'all are primitive Baptists. Turn to Galatians. I'll tell you what happened to a man named Paul. As he recounts himself to the church at Galatia, a church that he was not terribly happy with. You ever read the introductions to the epistles? You'll read the first four or five verses of I love you, things are going great, grace to you, Lord, you know, peace be multiplied, we think about you all the time. He doesn't say a whole lot of that to the church at Galatia. Because they were on down the path. He left them go down this road and they tried to take a shortcut and ended up somewhere they ought not have been. So much so, they started to doubt whether or not Paul was really an apostle. Who are you, Paul? Paul's recounting his experience. Starting about verse 14, he said, profited talking about himself, he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Y'all see what's happening here? Paul's recounting a story, his road to Damascus experience. He says, when it pleased God to stop me in my tracks and change who I was, you know what happened? He says, immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Had Paul been preached the gospel at this point, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he might have known something about it. Nobody was preaching to Paul. You can bet your bottom dollar that. The Lord changed him. And immediately he was a different person. This whole process, whether it's not you hear the preacher and something, and there's a process involved, there was no process in Paul's regeneration here. Paul says the Lord stopped me in my tracks when it pleased Him, and immediately He conferred not with the flesh and blood. Isn't that the same thing that happened to you? Somebody asked me the other day, believe in what you believe, how does one know if they're a child of God? I said, they confer not with flesh and blood. Something else means something to them. As that old brother from Kenya said at McClinney a couple of years ago, he takes comfort in our doctrine because he can close his eyes and he can envision his ancestors looking out over the Indian Ocean off the eastern shores of Kenya and seeing the sun rise and saying, something out there is greater than I am. Something out there is making that sun come up day after day after day after day. The Lord touched you, and immediately you were something else. You were changed. You conferred no longer with the flesh and blood. You were able to get down on your knees, and you were able to look at the great God of this universe and beg for forgiveness, and to plead, and to ask, and inquire about favor with God. That doesn't get you eternal life. You're already changed. Something's already happened to you. You're able to sit in this congregation on a Friday night with a no good preacher up there trying his best to preach the gospel and say, you know what, I get that. That makes sense to me. Makes sense to you? You're a child of God. The Lord immediately touched you. There was an outside agency involved in this immediate change. An outside agency is none other than God Himself. It ain't a preacher. It ain't this ink and paper. You know, we're doing Bible study at Palm Chapel Church. And we've been going through the Articles of Faith. Last night, we got 17 Articles of Faith at Palm Chapel. I don't know how y'all made that happen, but something made that happen. We did Gospel last night. Or the other night. What's the purpose of the gospel? As to bear witness of the truth to regenerate man, that it ought to be preached throughout the world. These words on this page never saved a soul eternally, but they saved my life, and they've saved your life, and they'll continue saving your life. And sometimes this Old Testament, where it drags out, it seems like the Lord's not working in your life, and sometimes it's immediate change. No matter what happens, when something good happens to you, you ought to give all praise, all glory, and all honor to Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Y'all believe that? I believe that. Now, I don't know if all y'all are members here, but if you're not, then you ought to immediately get up out of your pew and you ought to want to be baptized. May the Lord bless you as we pray.